You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Back to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to have Fred Burks back on the show. Fred served for many years as a language interpreter for presidents and other dignitaries. He interpreted for Bush, Clinton, Gore, Cheney, and other top officials of the U.S. and other countries. Due to excessive secrecy demands, he resigned from the U.S. State Department in 2004. Fred was inspired to develop his website, www.wanttoknow.info, to share a wealth of eye-opening information on major cover-ups from respected friends and colleagues. Fred has dedicated himself both to getting the word out about the cover-ups and to inspiring others to help transform ourselves and our world through love and empowerment. He has helped develop several inspiring communities and websites, including Moment of Love and Insight Course. So let's welcome Fred back to the show now and see what's new. Hi, Fred. How are you?
Hey, Lance. Great to hear from you.
Yes. Well, it's been a while. I don't know how long it's been, but I'm sure there must have been some new events and happenings in your life since we last chatted. Do you want to fill us in on anything?
Well, I think there's lots of things going on in all of our lives.
Yes. That does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, of course, the biggest thing being the financial crisis that has hit and has got everybody going.
Yes. I was recently watching a television show. I think it was on MSNBC. And Naomi Klein said that this period of time would be viewed historically as the greatest heist in American history. And she was referring to the bailout money.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think she certainly has a point there that, you know, there are clearly people who are making huge profits as the vast majority of people are losing money, those who have investments anyway.
Yeah.
And yet, if we take an even bigger view, for me, you know, I like to take it back to the deeper spiritual aspects. People will look back and say, wow, and maybe this opened the way for huge transformations to happen.
Yeah.
What I'm seeing already everywhere is now people have even much less faith in the powers that be,
yes,
in the hierarchical structures that are leading to all of these things.
Yes, I agree with you.
And then as the belief and faith in these structures decreases, it allows other aspects, and what I consider the deeper spiritual aspects to come forth,
mm-hmm,
and it allows community to develop from a people's orientation, from the individual rather than from the ruling elite.
Yes, from the ground up as opposed to top down.
Yes, exactly.
I noticed that too. And, you know, so in some ways, like you said, the more that they do that's just outrageous, really in some ways, the better. I mean, they're getting ready to pay another round of billions of dollars of bonuses. And, I mean, it just is becoming so ludicrous. It's really like a... It's almost like a comedy show.
Yes.
But except that it's not funny for all of those people, the many, who are not able to participate or who are losing their retirement funds or their jobs. But the power structure at the top doesn't care about that.
Right. But then you also have our own personal belief. Every one of us, how do we look at money and how much do we put money as kind of a god or as a top priority in our lives?
Yeah.
And as long as we do that, then we individually and collectively are supporting this kind of behavior.
Yeah.
And this is where I think, you know, the huge crash in the stock markets and all of that is a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And say, okay, where are we making money into a god and how can we transform our own personal beliefs?
Yes.
Because that's where the power is, when we individually and then collectively start transforming our own beliefs about money and making it a tool rather than a goal then I think we will see the external world reflecting back that change in belief.
Yes, I like your hope, though. I mean, you know, even in my grandparents' time, you know, it was so much more important to have family and to care about one another. And
exactly.
You know, we were involved with farming activities and growing our own food, and money wasn't really even an issue. It was never even brought up.
Wow.
It was there, but it was kind of transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just completely become the opposite, and everybody seems to be scrambling for some little piece of the pie, and the more easily they can grab it from somebody else, the better it seems.
Well, you know, this is understandable when we've got this much fear going everywhere.
Yeah,
when people move into fear, then they tend to move into their lower consciousness centers, and what they're more concerned about is security, basic food, housing, and money.
That's right.
And this doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just a what is.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is where we can look at, okay, how much does fear affect us?
Mm.
And why do we fear so much? You know, Roosevelt's famous saying, there's nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah, and what are we afraid of?
Exactly.
You know, I think it kind of, it ultimately boils down to the fear of death and the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, speaking of fear, we just went through another epidemic scare. They're
yes.
threw that out at us.
Yes.
And one of these days, it's going to be, you know, I don't know how carefully these things are controlled and released, but there are several different thoughts on that. One is that we're receiving some kind of outside help in keeping these from spreading. And another is that sooner or later they will be successful in timing these things in such a way that a wave of this will, of some highly virulent strain will get through. But I have to tend to look at that as something that if that does happen, that's what's meant to be for a certain amount of people to leave this plane and move on to the next one.
Sure. Well, and this, to me, is kind of a manifestation of our own dualistic nature,
yeah.
where a part of us fears that, you know, somebody out there is trying to control and destroy us,
yeah.
but another part of us hopes that somebody out there is wanting to save us.
Yes, that's right.
But then maybe on the deeper mystical level, these parts are both external representations of what's going on inside of ourselves.
Yes.
And when we get comfortable with both of those parts,
yeah.
like, oh, there's fear, and that's just another wonderful, powerful opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
And the other part that says, oh, they're going to save me, well, wait a minute, you know, it's coming back to our own selves, that we can transform ourselves when
yeah.
we tap into the deeper divine centers within ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, I've never seen so much material on the power of creation and of the idea that thought creates our reality and emotions.
Yes, it's coming out all over it. It's so exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. It really is.
Although it's interesting because some of it is, a lot of it, we're seeing more and more channeled materials coming out.
Have you noticed that?
It seems like it.
Yeah, maybe you might be right.
Well, and the thing I see about channels is that it can be a wonderful thing, and some of the channeled materials are really powerful, but we need to watch out, too, when the channel is being depicted as a divine being who is better than all of us,
yeah.
who knows all the answers,
yeah.
then we can fall into that same old trap of wanting to put somebody as they're the ones that we should look for to save us.
That's right.
But there are channeled materials out there really that don't, and even within the channeled materials, almost always there is talk about it's all about you. It's all about each of us transforming ourselves, even when it is the Archangel Michael who rules the universe.
Yeah.
So it's a mix, you know?
Yeah, and I noticed that the better ones seem to put the focus on heart-based and services to other activities.
Yes.
Developing compassion and self-love, which are just basically common sense things anyway, Spirituality 101.
Yes, although I would... I invite you to consider that that is another form of dualistic way of looking at things when we say service to self versus service to others.
Mm.
You know, people talk about the ET species, for instance, as being some of them are more service to self and others service to others. But that's a very dualistic way of thinking.
Yeah.
Because what we can really look at, let's be in service to all.
Right, right.
Because when you're in service to others and sacrificing yourself, that can be very unhealthy.
That's right.
So when we include ourself, with that others, then we get service to all, which to me is the blending or the interweaving of these two paradigms.
Yes, that's good. That's a very good point. And, you know, it covers all the bases as well.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you know, because, you know, you hear, I mean, like, you probably follow what's going on in the UFO and ET community, and there's a lot of talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There is, and it does seem that there's a little bit more possibility. I don't know how much more possibility, but it does seem that we're moving closer to some kind of disclosure, although from what I've been reading and learning about, there's a lot of information there to disclose, and I don't think that it's very flattering.
Right.
And it's so shocking that I don't think people would be able to grasp it immediately. So even if there was disclosure tomorrow, I think it would have to be done in such a way that it would empower us to take it in.
Right.
You know, but who knows if how that will happen or if it will happen.
Right. Well, I hope you don't mind. I'll take the mystic view on this again and say that if we're waiting for disclosure to happen from out there, then we're missing the point in some ways.
Yeah.
If we've already fully disclosed to ourselves.
That's right.
And
that's
seen
right.
The places where we're hiding stuff and done our own research and come to our own understanding about the UFO ET position, then we've done it. We've
that's
done
right.
our piece. And
that's
we
right.
will exude that energy out. And as others join us in doing that, I don't think it's going to be a massive CBS, NBC all pronouncing that, yes,
yeah.
the ETs have landed and everybody now knows and has to look at it.
Yeah.
That wouldn't make sense to me in a spiritual view.
Yeah.
Spiritually,
yeah.
it's a percolating from up underneath from all of us
yeah.
who
yeah.
are doing our spiritual work to open up to what's going on and then sharing that with others.
Yeah, that's another good point. speaking of the ET aspect, is there anything new that you have been researching or have discovered of late that would be of interest?
Well, I'm just excited. To me, it does seem like as more and more people are opening up to the deeper aspects of everything that's going on, it is percolating up. And you're seeing now there is gradually more and more coverage in the mainstream media of what's going on.
Yes.
You know, even the X conference recently got an article on, I don't know which it was, CNN or one of those. So, I mean, the X conference getting coverage, and then there's been talk about Edgar Mitchell on a number of different, on ABC and some others,
uh-huh.
and his beliefs in UFOs. So, again, to me, I'm not looking for that to happen, but that is a reflection of what I'm seeing happening in the collective consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, that's my main focus, is looking what's going on in the collective consciousness, and what's going on in my consciousness, and how is that interacting. That's the most important thing to me.
Now, do you see the collective consciousness as the sum of all of our consciousnesses combined?
Well, you know, I think there are many ways to look at it. I mean, there's individual consciousness, which is your consciousness, my consciousness, any individual's consciousness.
Mm.
But any group that comes together has its own collective consciousness,
mm.
even a group of friends. But then if you get to a political entity, that has its own consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Our world has a collective consciousness, our galaxy, and then there's the universal collective consciousness, which is what I would call all that is, or many people call God or spirit or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And so in our own discussion right now, I think we're talking about the global or planetary collective consciousness
mm-hmm.
and the role that that plays in what happens on our world. But then there's the interface with the ETs, and that takes it to another level, which is maybe the galactic, if you want to call it that, collective consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's important sometimes to really talk about what levels we're looking at, because the global consciousness is different than the galactic consciousness,
mm.
which is very different than the deeper spiritual consciousness of all that is, where everything is just a beautiful, perfect, divine unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very different contextual framework than the smaller collective consciousness ones that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very true, very true.
Well, yeah, and I hope you don't mind if I put in a little plug here, but anybody who's interested, we have a transformation course that really looks at everything that's going on, both the inspiring things and the things that seem disempowering and destructive, and interweaves it all into a powerfully inspiring course of 21 lessons, which you can find at transformationteam.net. And we've been getting really rave reviews, people talking about, a number of people, two people have actually said, you saved my life.
Wow.
And then a number of people said, wow, you have really transformed my life.
Wow.
through this course. And a bunch of us work on it and are improving it all the time.
And how long has that been going on now?
Well, we launched the transformation course, I think, in September of 2007. So it's been about a year and a half.
And have you seen it growing as well?
Well, we have now something like 160 who've completed the course.
Okay.
And we probably have about the same number in the course. And we actually have this beautiful, we have a brand new community networking portal that's really great, and the people who play there love it. Really great way to connect with each other. And it's
wonderful.
It's kind of like MySpace. The guy who designed it, my housemate Andre, is an amazing internet genius. Sort of patterned it after the best things about, not MySpace, Facebook.
Oh,
the best aspects of Facebook and put it into this portal.
Oh, wow.
And if people want to take a look at it, you have to be a member to go in and have full access, but even non-members can go look and see basically what it's about, and that's at gatheringspot.net.
Okay. Gatheringspot.net.
Yeah, it's worth a look. What you can see on the public face is the post. There's public postings and private postings, and most people post publicly.
Uh-huh.
So you can see it's broken down to all these different categories, including even like near-death experiences. There is a section on UFOs, section on 9/11, section on inspirational stories, all sorts of things.
Wow.
And so you can go and see what people are writing and then all the comments people make on those posts.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun. You know, we're developing new things all the time. And, you know, many people have friends that are not too deep into spirituality, and we've actually created what we call the secular version of the transformation course. And that's called the Insight Course. And if you go to insightcourse.net, that's where you want to send your friends who are not into spirituality but who are open to transformation. So, for instance, the Insight Course never talks about the collective consciousness.
Okay.
Because most people who aren't that spiritual, have a hard time wrapping their head around that sort of concept.
Right. So you do allow for that to make adjustments for an individual's level of perception.
Exactly.
Well, that's really good.
We usually, if I don't know a person, I send them first to the Insight Course. Because on the introductory page, which is the second page on that website, it says, and if you're on a deep spiritual path or interested in metaphysics or mysticism, click here. And that's all it says. And so anybody who is obviously going to click there, and that'll take them to the transformation course.
Wonderful.
Yes.
It sounds beautifully designed.
Oh, it's really amazing. You know, basically, as I mentioned, Andre is the most amazing internet genius I've ever met. He's my housemate and does all that sort of technical aspect. And I'm really good at the sort of content management and arranging it so that it's really easy to follow and takes people to the places that they want to go.
Yes, your websites are just, they're top drawer.
Well, thank you.
You know, it's hard to find any website that is so well organized and so clear and so informative. I mean, there's just a vast amount of information that you can call off of even just your main website, which is wanttoknow.info.
Right. Well,
and then from there you can get to the other ones as well, I believe, can't you?
Yes, although if you want to see all of our websites, it's best to go to our nonprofit organization that manages all of this is called PEERS, which stands for Public Education and Empowerment Resource Service.
Okay.
And that is the main website, and that's at www.peerservice.org.
Okay.
PEERSERVICE.org. And there it explains all of the websites. It has links to all the websites all on one page. WantToKnow.info is really our kind of cover-up focused website, so it doesn't list all of the other websites. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It has sort of a different purpose.
Uh-huh. Well, wonderful. Wonderful. So now, what was I going to ask you next?
Well, I can just tell you that we're really excited because I'll tell you my own personal sort of mission on this planet is to be what I call a dancer in the shadow and light.
I like that.
Because, you know, there's many people, many of our friends are what we call light workers. They're really, let's focus on the light, you know, law of attraction. Let's not even look at the shadow.
Yeah.
Let's just focus on love and beam it. And that's beautiful. And I really don't want to be critical, even though I do slip into judgment sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't want to be critical of people that don't want to look at the shadow.
Yeah.
In fact, we have some websites designed for those people because we really want to honor that.
Yeah.
And then we have our friends who are the conspiracy theorists, who like they're all focused on, oh, the world is so terrible, you know, those evil power elite are out to, you know, control us, and they're going to enslave us and destroy 90% of humanity, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And these are what I would call people who like are sort of overly focused, sometimes obsessed on the shadow.
Yeah.
And that want to know that info is designed for them, hopefully helping to give them more balance. So that they're not so focused on the shadow. But my own personal mission, then, is to bring these two together. Again, it's another duality, and when we transcend the duality and embrace both, that's when we make some real powerful progress and transformation. And so our websites, most are focused on one or the other, focused either on sort of the aspects of light and love or on the cover-ups. But now, the exciting thing in my life is, since those are pretty well developed, now we're developing more and more websites like the Transformation Course and the Insight Course, which are bringing the two together and really inspiring to people to see that both the shadow and the light are valuable.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, you need the darkness of the fertile soil. You need to have water and storms to then for these seeds to sprout and grow. And that's really a great analogy. You know, if we avoid the darkness and the shadow, then we don't have any water and rain to, you know, to challenge these seeds to grow and become strong and healthy.
That's right. And also, it if you're only looking at the love and light side of it, some of the people haven't done their own shadow work.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's a whole underground or undercurrent of subconscious desires that are not necessarily being processed or examined or looked at or aware of. And so,
yes. In fact, I have someone that I know, actually, who was an elderly gentleman, a wonderful man, but he was so focused on light and love, didn't want to talk about the shadow at all, and yet his body was extremely contracted.
I
couldn't help but think, you know, his whole life he's been avoiding looking at the shadows, not out just out in the world, but even in himself.
That's right.
That it has really caused his body to go inward and create all sorts of physical difficulties for him.
Oh, yeah, it creates all kinds of blockages and strange things.
And what I find is, you know, my friends that I have the most fun with are comfortable in both of those realms.
We
absolutely love, like you, Lance, I feel this, you love just beaming the light and love and being in that space, but we're not afraid to look at the shadow.
No.
Say, look, this is what I've done myself. I love your book. Tell me again the title of your book.
Tales of the Zany Mystic.
Tales of the Zany Mystic. It's a fantastic book for looking at that. You are so clear and vulnerable in sharing some of the crazy, stupid things you've done in your life, I think you'd admit.
Yes.
And then how you've transformed that and turned it all around.
Yeah, and for people who are interested, that is available at Amazon.com Books.
Mm-hmm.
So do go there and read the reviews, and you can support my work here by purchasing a copy and getting some fun stuff to read.
And I'll tell you, Lance is a great writer. It's a really fun read. You know, you may not know, but I get people sending me books and magazines and articles all the time in the mail. I get probably on average a book a week or DVD that people mail to me. I just don't have time to read all this stuff, and I really do. So I'll flip through it. And even yours, Lance, I started flipping through it, but yours grabbed me. It's like, whoa, this is good stuff. Most of them I just put right away, but I read it cover to cover, and I highly recommend it to people.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice to hear that. I haven't done anything with the book, and I haven't, you know, been marketing it or anything. I just kind of let it sit there, but I wrote it that way so that it would grab you. If you start it, it's hard to put it down.
It is. Yep. It's great.
And it doesn't pull any punches.
Well, and as I say, you have been in some real shadow places.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my.
And, you know, I really admire you for that. I've had my own shadow work, but I'll tell you, it's not at the level of what you went through.
Oh, yeah. I was in so deep that there were times when I knew that I was going to pull out of it someday, and yet it was like, wow, how you couldn't go much deeper than that.
Yeah, how did I get myself into this, right?
Yeah, and you know, I know that I'll be okay, and it's funny because even in my worst shadow moments of, you know, which included, a you know, a lot of drug abuse and drug sales and so on and so forth, I knew somehow that I'd be all right, and that's the strangest thing. And then I also had a lot of mystical experiences in between those times, and so it's almost like living in like 10,000 lives in one lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Now today I look back and it's like, it just seems like a blur.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I'm in a totally different place now, and
yep.
I'm even thinking about doing another book, a fictional book that would be something akin to the type of writing that Dan White does.
Nice.
And includes stuff about UFOs and conspiracies.
Oh, great.
And,
excellent.
Transcendence and angels and, you know, higher dimensional realms. But it's just at the thought stage right now. So,
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wanted to share with you that a few of the people who've taken our course had addiction problems.
Oh. Okay.
And many people, when they finish, they write us these glowing reviews. And one woman wrote us who was a meth addict.
Oh, yeah.
And would you mind if I just share you a quick paragraph of what she wrote?
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
Here's what she says. No doubt about it. My life has changed drastically since I began this course. I am learning how to eliminate fear of the unknown. I feel liberated and so energized, way beyond anything like the illusion that was my life when I was addicted to meth.
Hmm.
People are starting to notice and to wonder what I'm doing differently.
Wow.
And I'm surprised in a pleasant way that when I introduce these ideas, the folks that I have shared these ideas with are eager to learn them.
Wow.
Thank you all for being here.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, because you know, one of the things we really do in the transformation course is say, hey, yes, we've had these difficult experiences. We all have these deep core issues where we were wounded, usually when we were children.
Yeah.
Where we were told we weren't good enough or had to do weird things to please our parents.
Yeah.
And these deep wounds are with us, and if we don't look them straight in the face and say, okay, this is who I am.
Yep.
Now, how am I going to transform this?
Yeah,
and then we give all these great tools on how to start working on transforming this. That's where the magic can really happen.
Wow. And that's an ongoing skill set, isn't it? Set of tools that you have available through your transformation team.
Absolutely. Yeah, in fact, we have this page of appreciations of all the people, what they've written. And since I was just on that reading, here's another person says, I know I will be returning to many of these lessons over and over till they become a regular part of my life.
Hmm.
And many people, you know, are printing off key pages, because some of the pages really are key that have, summaries of the key concepts that you want to remember.
Wow.
And so by just having those few pages, you can go, oh, yeah, this is it. This is what I'm doing.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And we get people to, you know, to come up with their own stuff, like when you're dealing with life purpose and intentions. It's different for every person.
Uh-huh.
But the important thing is to get clear on it and then write it down.
Yeah.
So that whenever you're in trouble or having challenges, you can go back and look, okay, here's what I'm here for. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what my intention is.
Well, you know, this we're talking at a very fortuitous time, because this is a wonderful time with, going into the full moon and Scorpio and the rest of it to be working on self-transformation.
Absolutely.
And this is a perfect time for people to go over to your site and investigate and see if it, you know, feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Try it on.
Yep.
You know, and see if there is something there that might expand or open your mind. And I know there is.
Yep.
I started doing the course, and I apologize. I was not able to finish it due to my getting things organized here on my own little piece of property. But,
mm-hmm. Well, I know the biggest challenge for most people in doing something like this is the time involved.
Yeah.
The lessons are between 1 and 2 hours each, and total it takes about 40 hours to finish the course. And most people feel like, wow, I just don't have time for that.
Yeah. But if you take it in little pieces.
Exactly. You know, one of my favorite people who's been an internet friend for a long time, he's doing one lesson a month.
Yeah.
And he's only got 4 lessons to go now. He started a little over a year ago, and he's loving it, and he's giving me great feedback. I tell him, you know, he's really good with editorial stuff and ideas, and he'll just pull each lesson apart with a comb and tell me, this is a little bit weak, work on this.
Huh.
And I'm so thankful for him doing that, just one lesson a month, and then, boom, it really helps us to have even better quality material.
Well, I will have to return to that and start working on it again, you know, just take it at my own pace.
Exactly. Like I say, you know, one lesson a month, and I think you'll really appreciate it, too.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The lessons generally, like the first lesson is incredibly inspiring, and then the second one goes into cover-up material and starts with the media cover-up, because that's where most people need to start to in order to understand the other bigger ones.
Yes.
And then the third lesson is a very powerful, inspiring one that really gets to look at personal responsibility.
Mm.
And then the fourth one goes back into shadow, which is about war and the war machine and how that affects all of us.
Wow.
The fifth one goes into breathing sacred love, really deeply inspiring stuff. So it bounces back and forth between sort of deep inspiration and deep shadow work.
Wow.
But then by the time you get to the end of the course, it's getting more and more really just powerful, inspiring stuff and saying, okay, now you get it. Now you get, it's all about moving beyond duality and working together to transform ourselves and the world. And it's a really fun journey.
Do you see that beginning to happen? I mean, for instance, the political scene since you were around in the Bush years and the Cheney years seems to have changed dramatically.
No kidding.
In particular, I don't know if it's me or if it just seems that the Republicans are just nailing their feet to the floor at every turn.
Well, you know, the Republicans are really having to do, well, they're kind of having an identity crisis. Because, for instance, I think you know the Republicans used to be about small government and traditional family values.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, those are not bad concepts. I've always felt like the Democrat-Republican split is one of the things that disempowers us.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because there's always more progressive Republicans who are really wanting to do the right thing for all of us.
Yes, that's right.
And more progressive Democrats who are wanting to do the right thing for all of us.
Yep, exactly.
And then there's the more entrenched in both parties.
That's right.
Who are greedy and doing what they can, you know, to forward their own personal interests and the interests of their group.
That's right. That's right.
Over the interests of all of us.
That's right. And you know, nothing was more obvious than the ones that recently killed. I think it was a bill that would have helped homeowners with refinancing, and the bank kind of stepped in and lobbied against it, and boy, they just stopped it dead in its tracks.
Yep.
And, I mean, there's one example like of that after another.
But then there's also these examples of wonderful things coming out now, and for all that, you know, there's people who are saying, you know, Obama is the Antichrist, both on both sides. Even some of my light worker friends think Obama is, you know, siding too much with you know, the dark forces.
Right, right.
And, of course, everybody has that. We all have dark and light in us. But overall, when you ask Obama questions about his deep spirituality, he says, look, he'll say this. You can read it in his stuff.
Yeah.
We're all interconnected. You know, we're all interdependent, and we got to look at this as one world and one family.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the deeper principle upon which he's moving.
Yes.
Does he always follow it? No. And he's facing all sorts of pressures. You know, having worked with presidents, I can tell you, most people have no idea the kind of pressures that presidents have. Like you and me, they have only a certain amount of time every day.
Oh,
they have
yeah.
to get up. They have to go to the bathroom. They have to eat. They hardly have time to read the newspaper.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So, you know, a president's life is not an easy one.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You know, and people think, you know, oh, Obama's doing this and Obama's doing that, and he is doing some great things, and he's doing some things that, in my opinion, are not so great.
I agree.
But I totally respect his intention.
I do, too. I do, too. And he's a very, very smart man.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but he's still learning. I can tell you, when you become a president, there's a whole learning curve. He's learning just how much and how little power he has in some areas.
Yes, isn't it interesting to watch that happen when
he's
going to office?
Well, they say that a president, on average, every 4 years, ages 10 years. And part of it is because they realize how little, as the ruler of the world, or at least of the most powerful nation in the world, how little power they have compared to what they thought they would have.
Yes, exactly.
And that's a harsh and hard learning curve.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I don't have proof of this, but I'm almost certain there are calls that happen in the middle of the night from certain key people to say, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, it's your choice. Yeah. You do it, but if you don't do it, you watch, and this will happen.
Yeah.
And the presidents will try this out. You know, so they will not do what they said sometimes, and they'll see, oh, whoever it was that made that call was able to make that certain consequence happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, people, and so the president doesn't even know who really are these people that are making these calls and stuff.
Yes, yes.
So there's all sorts of stuff that goes on, and this is where I say, you know, I look at the people's intention, you know. Bush's intention, he was a little boy who wanted to have fun and you know, one of the good old boys, you know. So not the greatest intention, but he wasn't evil. I really didn't see him as evil as some people do.
Yeah.
But, you know, look at the intention. That's why I so like Obama. I really feel like his heart is in the right place.
Yes, I do too. I do too. And I think that signifies a major shift in where we're headed and where we're coming from now.
Yep.
Because that hasn't occurred for quite a long time. We haven't really had a leader who has been so forthcoming, at least is willing to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that, you know, Ronald Reagan, for all that some people really hate him, was really good with people and really cared about people.
Yeah.
But what was his intention? His intention was really to make business prosperous and successful.
Oh, well, he did.
And that's what he did over, you know, sometimes the good of the people.
That's right.
And so, you know, this is where, you know, I do think he was really good with people. He was very effective, an effective speaker. But what was his intention?
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing about we were talking about the Republicans earlier, and I don't want to mean to harp on it, but it seems that they're so used to operating from lies and spin.
I can't let you get away with that, Lance. I'm sorry.
You're putting
all the Republicans in one category. I have worked with some amazing, wonderful Republicans who would never do that.
All right. But
if you want to say a lot of the Republicans, I'll be okay. But please don't say the Republicans do this.
All right. I take that back. Some of them. At least the ones that seem to be stirring up the negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. You can't make blanket statements about any group, but...
But anyway, I'm sorry, so go ahead. So a number of the key Republicans are...
Yes, a number of the key Republicans seem to be... one example is they're already trying to figure out how to stop the Supreme Court election, you know, the...
Right.
You know, so...
With Souter.
And he hasn't even begun to bring up names or...
Right.
So, I mean, they're already going after that one, and I guess Rush Limbaugh is kind of a major spokesperson for the right,
mm-hmm.
and he seems to be kind of a silly guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty polarizing.
Yeah, polarizing. That's a good word for it.
Yeah, polarizing.
Yeah, and you know, that's something I kind of look at is how much is a person sort of a polarizing influence,
mm-hmm.
and there are certain people like Rush Limbaugh who is that, which. To me, it doesn't mean he's bad or evil, but I want to point out to people, do you realize that one of Rush Limbaugh's main points is to polarize people?
Yeah.
And there are Democrats who are like that, too.
Yeah.
Really wanting to polarize people and say, we Democrats are right and the Republicans are wrong.
That's right. And he gets paid very well for it, too.
He
makes $400 million a year.
Well, that's because there's a lot of angry people in this world, and angry people like listening to angry people,
and they
also tend to want to see things as good and bad, black and white.
Yeah, I'd rather listen to Coast to Coast AM at night. It's a much more interesting show. I think you'll learn more from that.
Well, there's a great diversity certainly on there, too, because you can get some very conservative and some very liberal folks on there.
Yes, I've noticed that.
Yeah.
So on the spiritual side and the energies, are you following any of the ideas as far as saying time speeding up and the energy shifting greatly, it does seem that things are heating up a little bit, that, you know, more information is coming out and there's a little bit more transparency emerging.
Yeah, the whole 2012 thing, I'm sure you and many of your listeners at least know about, winter equinox 2012 is supposed to be the time when either all hell breaks loose or half of humanity is taken up by the aliens or whatever the scenario is.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because it certainly does seem that we are in this logarithmically increasing expansion of energies.
Yeah.
But does it end at 2012? I don't know. I highly doubt that. I think 2012 will pass and 2013 will awaken to a world that is not too significantly different from now. Yet, at the same time, I do think there are lots of things happening, and transformation does seem to be increasing all the time.
Yes.
I think we will, my guess is, you know, there's going to be some really potent challenges that we're still facing.
I would think so, because it seems like we have enough historical evidence now from these 26,000-year cycles that they are... definitely cycles that create a great deal of upheaval and positive change.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know for sure if some of the people that were residing on the planet at that time were taken or lifted or ascended or what. But mm-hmm. We do know that there were quite a few that left and disappeared.
26,000 years ago?
Yeah, 26,000.
Is that supposed to be the time of Atlantis?
Yes.
Okay.
And then every 11,000 years there's a cycle. So we're at in 2012 there's I think there are several other galactic cycles that end, and one of them is about 4.5 billion years old. And I mean, there are all these different odometers that are turning over to zero at the same time.
Well, I would say there's some of that, but also, for instance, one of the big ones people quote is the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
Now, first off, the Mayan calendar, there were several dates that people were putting out there. I remember in 1997, a bunch of my friends were saying, the Mayan calendar ends this, I forget what the exact date was in 97,
uh-huh.
And they were all doing all these preparations that was the date. But when it passed, there's two other dates it might be. And then one of them was 2012, and now, of course, the other dates have passed, and everybody's focused on 2012.
Now
the Mayan calendar, people say it ends in 2012. Many people, even people that I really respect, like, what, you're calling it the end of the Mayan calendar? All you have to do is a little bit of research, and you can see that the Mayan calendar goes on for billions of years.
Yeah, that's right.
It's something like the equivalent of the year 10,000 in the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
And so, the year 2000, everybody was predicting Y2K, you know, this big disaster, and, of course, look what happened.
Nothing.
Right. And, you know, I think, I'm not saying that nothing will happen in 2012, but I'm saying let's not blow it out of proportion and make it, this is the date we're all waiting for, we're either going to be saved or go to hell or whatever. Because guess what? Now's the moment.
That's the time. That's right.
And as long as we keep focused on doing the right thing now in this moment, you don't have to worry about 2012.
Exactly. Because you'll be doing the right thing in whatever moment arrives,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be in the right place at the right time.
Yep.
And I think that a lot of that has to do with listening to your intuitive side.
Exactly. Yeah.
Following your inner guidance system, you know, and not paying so much attention to the circus and smoke and mirrors that's going on everywhere else.
Exactly. So this is where you got to watch the people who are talking about 2012. Are they speaking from a place of the heart, or are they speaking from a place of fear and contraction?
Exactly.
A lot of people are wanting to use it to scare people into doing something.
Yes. I think that's true, and there's including the possibility of a fake alien agenda.
Yes.
And so we know that there is a possibility. In fact, I know of a group that I used to be involved with that's waiting to be lifted right now.
Oh, well, do you know how many groups there have been like that?
My goodness, yes.
Remember, what was the one in L.A. that they all committed suicide because that one asteroid came by?
Yes.
The something gate. Heaven's Gate.
Yes. Creepers.
Yeah, and then the Jim Jones folks, you know, and this has been, you know, I took some sociology courses in college, and they did two researchers infiltrated one of these groups to see what would happen when the predicted date of being taken up didn't happen, and they wrote all about it. It was really quite fascinating. It's this part of us that wants to believe that we're going to be saved instead of working ourselves right now to realize that we are already saved first, but that doesn't mean our work is over.
Right.
Who was it that said, you know, get enlightened and then take out the trash?
Yes, exactly. The old Zen saying.
Right, and you know, the get enlightened part is just getting comfortable with what is.
Yeah.
When you stop fearing the future or hating the past and can focus on just being fully in the present with all our wounds and with all our greatness at the same time.
Yes.
And move and dance with that without getting carried away or obsessed, you're enlightened.
Yes.
But you still got to take out the trash.
Yes, exactly. And don't you find that there are many different moments of enlightenment?
Yes.
There's not just one. I mean, there might be
one
that stands out for you, but that it's not the last one, that there's always another one around the corner, that then you have another aha and another moment of enlightenment.
Exactly. There's layers and layers.
Yeah, and it just keeps going on, and you try to peel away the part that's false to lighten up, and so that what's left is something that remains standing or sitting or floating.
Right. Yep.
So, which is what your work does.
Yeah, well, to me, the magic is, it's not about banishing the dark forces, it's about transforming and integrating them.
Exactly.
And the old paradigm says, you know, let's banish them and let's, you know, destroy them.
Yeah.
But that's destroying our part of ourselves.
That's right.
I know you're a mystic like me, and you believe that everything, every being that exists in its core is divine.
Yes.
And so when we banish or destroy something, first off, we're not truly destroying anything.
No, uh-uh.
But we're pushing it away, we're pushing a part of ourselves away.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, just so you know, I don't normally talk about this stuff, but since you label yourself as a zany mystic, and I assume most people who listen have some sort of mystic tendencies.
Oh, yeah.
My own deeper belief is that when we push away or, you know, try to destroy things outside of ourselves, it's representing somehow a suppressed desire to destroy or push away something inside of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Which is not to say we don't want to stop war and stop destruction. We do.
Yeah.
But let's find that place inside of ourselves that is somehow responsible for that playing out in the world.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
And it's not easy, you know?
No, it isn't.
Yeah, there's times when, just like you, you know, I get really down. It's like, oh, my God, what am I doing? What's going on? Or what's going on in the world? And,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I am getting better and better. Anytime something happens out in the world that really kind of shocks me, I try to put up my mirror as soon as I can. It's like, okay, let's feel the feeling. And then, okay, now, here's the mirror. What is that representing inside of me?
Yeah.
And the more I do that, the easier it gets to find that place.
Yeah, very good. That's a great technique.
Yeah.
Great technique.
It's all a mirror game.
Yes, absolutely.
Consider everything out there is in some form a mirror.
Yes.
And sometimes you got to watch, because sometimes the mirror is the opposite. Instead of giving you an exact image, it gives you exactly the opposite so that you get to learn something.
Yes. It isn't always the same thing.
Right. It's like people who are really macho, you would think that's presenting a macho mirror, but what macho really represents is the deep fear of being inadequate.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's an example of kind of an opposite mirror.
Yes.
So if you're not, you look at the mirror and you're not getting it, sometimes think, what's the opposite of that? And see if maybe that's reflected in you.
Yes. And you know, there's so much hatred in the world today. And it seems like because I'm gay, I notice that I'm particularly subject to noticing that there are so many religious groups and far right and politicians who seem to enjoy coming down on people who are gay. And
yep.
I just noticed that there's a new movie coming out called Outrage or something, and it's a documentary on the politicians who are actually closeted and who have been voting against gay rights and doing everything they can to hurt the system. And they're participating, you know, with their little flings and affairs and just having their fun on the side, which is about the height of hypocrisy.
Yep.
And so there, you know, that's a false mirror.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that going on. But at the same time, part of the reason that seems to be increasing is because there is increasing acceptance of gays. As I think you know, there's, four or five states now that have approved some form of gay marriage.
Yes, and surprisingly not California.
No, but we came very close.
Yeah.
And the current polls are showing it would pass now if they did. And, of course, we both know that they're to some degree manipulated, and probably that proposition actually won.
Yes.
And so it's just a matter of getting the percentages up. You know, I've said for a long time that they can only manipulate the polls by a few percent, which is why Obama won by a landslide. Because with the other two elections, it was still within a few percent.
Yeah.
And you could manipulate them. But once, if it's more than 5 or 6%, they can't manipulate it anymore.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, really? Okay, we may not talk that with you, but I've talked about this in a number of other interviews. People think that, oh, they can manipulate any election. Well,
that's
not
what
true.
I thought.
No, because the polls don't completely lie. There's too many people, independent people, that can carry out polls.
Yeah.
That would get exposed.
Yeah. Well, I do feel that we're moving towards a more inclusive, you know, again, this gets back to the shadow side, that what we resist persists.
Yes.
And trying to eliminate some aspect of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't like about ourselves, we
exactly.
do not see it as within us, but it is a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
And all humanity is united as one spirit. And so you can't just cut off the arm, you know,
exactly.
and let it to throw it away, you know, because you don't like the looks of it.
Exactly.
You know, we kind of have to accept the whole ball of wax. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, if there are problems in society, it's because we're not being responsible for ourselves and we're in major denial.
Yeah. Well, can I give you and our listeners an invitation?
Absolutely. I hope you do.
Well, consider, what is it that you hate most or dislike most out there in the world? And I'm not asking you to answer right now, but just something to consider.
Yeah.
And then really take some time to look at that, feel what it is, and then put up the mirror.
Yeah.
And when you put up the mirror, see if you can't explore it. What is it that I hate or dislike about myself that's either being mirrored or the opposite is somehow being mirrored?
Yeah.
It's really a powerful practice that I've done with people sometimes, and I think you might find it useful.
I think I would. I think it would be a wonderful time to do that. And one of the people that I've had on the show does a daily horoscope at Soul Garden TV, and he suggested that, you know, this is a time when we're going to be pulled in, I think it's the sun and the moon and Scorpio, we're being pulled between our beliefs that serve us and suggesting writing a list of all those beliefs that we have about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
Like I'm not worthy, I'm inadequate, I can't do this, blah, 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 and
mm-hmm.
just write them all down, all of those things that are the negative beliefs, and then when you're done, burn it. You know, and let
uh-huh.
release it into the universe and let it go, because those beliefs, you know, hold us down, and we don't realize how pervasive they are because they're just there. It's like an undercurrent that affects everything we do.
Well, you know, I like that practice of writing down the list, but what I would do with the list, if I had a list like that,
uh-huh.
is say, how can I hold these as my teachers?
Yeah, yeah.
And say, okay, yes, these are definitely holding me down, but there's got to be a reason that it's doing this. I want to go deeper and say, what's the understanding that I can get from this so that I can work and transform this belief?
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, that's a much deeper cut of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ultimately I think all of this leads back towards learning how to love ourselves, and the blockages are the reasons why we are unable to.
Mm-hmm.
Those things, like you said, we started out talking about that in the beginning, you know, childhood problems with parents and abuse,
right.
and the rest, and we just developed this feeling of not being worthwhile, and so,
yeah.
you know, we don't have to go all the way back to the very moment we made those decisions, but it's important to see why we feel less than other people,
right?
And what's stopping us from, you know, from living our lives fully and joyously.
Yes. Yeah.
As you said.
Yeah. Lots of potent material out there. You know, it's the thing about a time of crisis is that there's much more opportunity for growth if we choose to see it that way.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think so too. And you know, it seems like we're at the age. Here, you're a lot younger than I am, but well, not that much younger. But
mm-hmm.
we've been through some major crises on the planet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, the killing of Kennedy.
Right.
I don't know a person on Earth that wasn't affected by that.
Right.
And yet we pull together. It seems that at times of great crisis that we are able to realize the connection that we have and how important we are for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are known to do heroic acts in emergency situations. You probably have stories and inspirational stories on your website that'll just
blow yeah.
your hair.
Yeah, and I've heard some amazing stories, too. It's quite exciting when people, you know, basically, pardon the language, but when the shit hits the fan is when the people who really have their intentions clear and their purpose clear, they stand up and they shine.
Yes.
There's a great piece, by the way. If you go to wantknow.info, there's a list of links on the left-hand side.
Uh-huh.
And under the, it says an inspiration section. The second one says Our Great Hope. And it's written by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who wrote Women Who Run With Wolves.
Oh, okay.
And she has some great quotes there, but let's see if I can find them. I just flipped to it so I can find the key
yeah,
one.
Yeah, see if you can find some, because I want you to kind of, you know, leave us with some inspiring thoughts before we...
Sure. Do I have time to read three short paragraphs?
Yes, you do.
She says, ours is not the task of fixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach. Any small, calm thing that one soul can do to help another soul, to assist some portion of this poor, suffering world, will help immensely. It is not given to us to know which acts, or by whom, will cause the critical mass to tip toward an enduring good. What is needed for dramatic change is an accumulation of acts, adding more, continuing. We know that it does not take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace, but only a small determined group who will not give up during the first, second, or hundredth gale. One of the most calming and powerful actions you can do to intervene in a stormy world is to stand up and show your soul. Soul on deck shines like gold in dark times. The light of the soul throws sparks, can send up flares, builds signal fires, causes proper matters to catch fire. To display the lantern of the soul in shadowy times like these, to be fierce and to show mercy towards others. Both are acts of immense bravery and greatest necessity.
Oh. Well, that's a perfect spot to end, I think. That's about as uplifting as it can get.
Yes, great. If you get a chance, go and read that. Again, the link is under Inspiration I Want to Know. It's Our Great Hope.
And I want to make sure that you have time to mention the major links that you would like us to visit.
Sure. So if you want to look at all the websites we have, the best one to go is www.peerservice.org. And the key websites you might want to look at for those who are interested in mysticism and the collective consciousness, transformationteam.net. For your friends who are less spiritual and want to take that online course, insightcourse.net. If you want to explore cover-ups, but from a sort of a positive angle, wanttoknow.info. And then there's momentoflove.org, webofloveorg. Lots of good stuff.
Oh, it's wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
And Fred, you're a wonderful and great, great being of light.
Oh,
you've always
light and shadow.
Yes, exactly. Light and shadow. Okay, let me look at the shadow too.
Right. I've got my shadow side, and I'm working with it.
Well, someday we'll have to talk about that a little more deeply, too.
Sure.
All right. Well,
thank you, Lance, for all the great work you're doing. And I know our listeners, every one of us, we're all doing our piece,
yeah.
And we can all always do more and inspire and support each other more, too.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Fred, and I wish you the best, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Lance. God bless.
Right.
Take care, and wish you lots of love.
Okay, you too.